The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Mirakl. Because traditional commerce is just code for not growing, it's time to do better than the status quo. Join over 450 retailers who are scaling six times faster with AI, automation, and a platform built for what's next. Marketplace, dropship, and retail media at enterprise-grade scale. It's time to accelerate with Mirakl.
All right. Welcome to the next Innovation Delivered session, Skyver Watson Shipping Smackdown. We're live here in Austin, Texas at ShipStation headquarters. I'm Chris Worley, VP Product Marketing here at Octane, and I'm going to be your host for this spicy wing eating challenge. We're really glad that you're here. We're really glad that you came to join us. We want you to participate today. So use that chat on your right side. There's chat, there's reactions, drop your questions in. We're going to pull questions out today from today's panel, but also drop in your responses to some of these questions as well. We'd love to engage and interact with you. And this session's also recorded. So we are going to have this session available live as an on-demand replay. So take that URL out of the top of the screen and share it if you like the content that you've seen today. Well, I am excited to introduce to you our panelists. Super exciting. We are really, really lucky to have you guys come join us here in person. If you all are not following these two gentlemen on LinkedIn, it's 2025. What are you doing? If you're in shipping, logistics, e-commerce, they have all the freshest and spiciest takes every week. We're going to drop their LinkedIn URLs into the chat now as well, so you can give them a follow. But let's get to it. Let's kick it over to you for some introductions. Tell us about yourselves. Who are you? What do you do? And what's your wing style? Are you a drums or a flats kind of guy? And we'll start with you, Nate.
Thank you, Chris. I'll just get the wings out of the way. Drums. Meaty drums. That'll work.
Yeah.
But my name is Nate Skyver. I am founder of LPF Spend Management, which is a parcel consultancy. Work with clients to help them ship smarter, cut shipping costs. A lot of that work is through projects to help select the right delivery partners and develop shipping strategies. And before that, it's been about 6 years that I've been consulting. I was in retail for 17 years. So developed parcel programs for Abercrombie & Fitch and Gap Inc. But since then, I've been consulting and absolutely love it. And somehow that has landed me here.
Right. What bad series of mistakes have you made?
Yes, exactly. I'm excited, but
questioning your life choices.
A little scared, so we'll see.
Yes.
It's great. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, my name is Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting. Work with mid-market and enterprise brands on growth strategy for all their digital channels. Kind of started that a little over 6 years ago on the back of a 20-year career in e-commerce, software companies, as well as retailers, really just kind of growing businesses. So it's been fun to watch the industry grow up and have a number of podcasts and newsletters that hopefully you guys are able to enjoy too. So
That's great. Well, let's see if we can get you guys sweating like a thermal printer on Cyber Monday. That's kind of our goal here a little bit. And here's how today's session is going to go.
First shipping humor.
Great.
I'm good for it. There's like six more. So for today's session, we've got four wings of increasing spiciness level. This one is a 2 out of 10 on the hot wing scale. This one is a 5 out of 10 on the hot wing scale, or hot one scale. Da Bomb is just kind of aggressive marketing with the hot sauce. But in the show, I think they do that one 9 out of 10. And then the last one is an 11 out of 10. So we're going to ask questions that increase in spiciness as that kind of go along with the wing. So let's do the first one. Rick, we're going to kick it to you first.
All right. You get to eat first.
What's one shipping myth that needs to die?
A shipping myth that needs to die. I think, look, if you start a business, you start with the big three in the United States. This is before sort of Amazon entered the world, which is the post office, UPS, FedEx. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest shipping myth that needs to die
especially if you're a small business that grows into a mid-sized business where carrier costs start to really add up and become a big percentage of your profits, is that there are not any choices outside of the big three.
Yeah. I don't know, near and dear to my heart, this is kind of, you know, what I do, and somehow this has been a
myth. Did you start
already? Oh, I did.
All right, I gotta start that.
For like 20 plus years, this has been the myth. It's deeply rooted with a lot of package shippers going back to early 2000s with just UPS or FedEx, maybe the Postal Service. But I think the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, it's been dying a slow death. It's been moving, aging a little bit more that direction. And a lot of it has to do with the way that the market has changed. So there's really an infinite almost amount of carriers, maybe too many, but there's plenty of options.
Some of them go out of business.
They do. So there's a lot of carrier options. There's a lot of shipping technology advancements to be able to manage.
Wait, this is like here.
It's not bad.
Zero.
No, it's a little tingly.
Right.
You know? So it's,
yeah. It's already something starting.
There is, which is not good.
It's not a good sign.
I didn't even tell you guys this, like a honey barbecue guy. Like it's right. It's like non-spice. So this is going to be bad. But I think it's been dying a slow death. Hopefully, sounds kind of morbid, but I hope like the final nail in the coffin is coming, because there's no reason for it not to. There are far too many solution providers available. There just aren't excuses anymore for this kind of to perpetuate. So
yeah, rate shopping, zone skipping, and there are a lot of regional carriers that are ready to take on more volume.
Absolutely.
We host an annual benchmark report, and a very similar question came up, and 53% of retailers plan to increase use of alternate carriers over the next year. So that dropped in February. What do you think about that? Are you kind of surprised by the percentage that it's not higher or lower?
I'm not surprised by companies saying they're going to. I think at least a lot of the work that I do is that, you know, I advise companies on, you know, what carriers to partner with for whatever reason they've said is important, right? Cost, speed. A lot of them still gravitate back toward or stay with a UPS or a FedEx because it's easier. It's easier not to change. And
have one person to talk to.
Exactly.
In theory, anyway.
They being UPS and FedEx, do things well enough. But I think at least what I've seen, so the 53% makes sense. I've actually seen in the last year or two more companies take action on that, not just say it. And that's the big...
I think the software has gotten a lot better.
Yes, absolutely.
And so the software, it's not just the software, but it's sort of like the pre-integrations there that makes the rate shopping not so manual.
You have access to all these carriers. And I think a lot more retailers are not just saying they're going to make changes or exploring carriers and then kind of saying, you know what, that's not worth the effort. More are making changes. And I think that's why you've actually seen, you know, Rick said some of these carriers might go out of business. True.
Some have.
But there's still a really large contingent that have been around for 5+ years. And I think the nail in the coffin is coming.
So. On track is high, you know, acquired some businesses. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, the trend of multi-carrier shipping is certainly not going away, and being able to offer multiple carriers is pretty crucial, because it can reduce dependencies on single carriers, provide new experiences. Really, really appreciate that. I would say you guys cleared that first question pretty easily.
All right.
So we will have to turn up the heat, but before we do. Rick, Nate said he's a honey barbecue guy. What's your spice threshold? Are you like a Tabasco kind of guy,
It's not a bad guess. I grew up in New Orleans, but to be honest, I go between mild and honey barbecue. So this is like both of them together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like a mild garlic or something.
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
So this is
good. I do love those like Korean crunchy wings. Those are really good. And those can get pretty spicy. I don't know where they fall on this scale.
Well, I'm going to have to Google it, and we'll have to get back. Yes. We'll put that in the email recap here. All right. Well, let's move on to the next question. Our medium heat. So we can go ahead and jump into the wings here. We'll go first. I think Rick's got to eat the wing first.
Rick? I ate the last. No.
Other way around. Yeah.
I started at least.
Look at this.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah. You don't care. I'm sure.
We'll see.
All right. The next question is fast shipping still a competitive advantage, or is it just table stakes?
I think fast shipping is still a competitive advantage, but it should be table stakes. It's something that we've, I don't know, been having a conversation about for, 20 years with Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow there's been a lot of, I think, evolution of many retailers delivering faster, but there's still a lot of retailers who aren't maybe delivering as fast as they could. And so, Rick, you may have said you have a prop at some point. So I've got this is not an exciting prop. It's just for me to, because I couldn't recall everything. So I do this every once in a while. I will go and see what shipping options a retailer offers, right? So you just go grab an item, make sure it has inventory, all that fun stuff, put it in the cart and go see how fast standard delivery is. So this is what I found. For companies delivering, I'm in Austin, to the hotel, actually earlier this morning, Gap, August 14th. Dick's Sporting Goods, August 8th.
August 14th?
August 14th. Oh,
it's August 7th, just in case anybody's watching this on demand.
So 1 week. JCPenney, the 12th. Macy's, the 11th. Aeropostale, the 18th for economy, or the 14th for standard. Lids, the 12th. Kendra Scott, between the 11th and the 13th, just in case, you know.
Right.
And H&M, between the 13th and 15th. So the reason it's still a competitive advantage is a lot of those retailers deliver faster than that, but they don't show it. They don't show it on the product display page. They don't show it in checkout.
Yeah, and I think part of what you're talking about, by the way, you're going to like this one.
Oh, so I guess
kidding.
I do a follow-up question, but we'll get there.
Can't stall and not eat. But I think what we're talking about eventually is like, there are two, I think, important components here, and actually Amazon has identified this, of course, throughout their history. One is just fast shipping, and second is estimated delivery date. And Amazon found, actually, that if you deliver something sooner than you promised it, that customer still gets upset because they want to be home to receive it, whatever it is. And so having a promise date is something that still so many brands don't have, and I would say is just as important almost as fast shipping. I mean, Amazon has found that really every time they increase speed, purchase frequency increases. And the reason is because now customers are considering you rather than going to the convenience store for a toothbrush. If you can be lazy like me, or
I do the same thing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
All right. I've got a Walmart.
Right. It's within a mile of my house.
Right. If you can have something delivered in 3 hours and you're doing something anyway, and something can show up at your house, then why not?
Yes.
And so that is an example of how they can get more baskets from you just by increasing speed.
Right. And I don't think we don't need more evidence than what Walmart and Amazon are, half the e-commerce market in the U.S. Doesn't mean a retailer has to deliver as fast as either of those or their entire catalog.
Walmart's 3-hour delivery is, I think, super interesting, because they were saying on some weeks as many as 40% of their customers are paying for 3-hour delivery.
That's
which
true.
Is also a huge source of margin.
Yep. Exactly.
Nate, you've worked at a big brand before. What does it take to make that switch, and what are some of the operational implications?
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Part of it, well, in my opinion, the easy part is the transportation part. Determine what the speed goals are, you speed to customer are, you resource that well. even the shipping technology at this point, there's a lot of different options, but there are some now that are more advanced to be able to more accurately predict transit times than just FedEx saying it's two business days from this point to this point. So that's gotten a lot better. And I think that's where you have to look as well. And then I mean, none of that matters unless you surface it at least in checkout, usually in the product display page. When I was going through earlier, I think Dick's was the only one that had it on the item page. That was it. So that to me is just a huge missed opportunity. Yeah. And that's where I get it. It's complex. So,
and a lot of the platforms don't do it out of the box.
Right.
And so if you sign up to any platform that's on your list, by default, your e-com platform is not going to show.
Right. So it's not that it's easy, requires effort, but you're not going to see the results of the return unless you actually invest time and some dollars into it.
We had a comment, hashtag eliminate business day transits.
I wish that would happen. It should. And that's actually something that, so Amazon obviously started that, ingrained that into everybody.
Saturday.
Right? But a lot of, this is the other whole reason why some retailers can't or won't do it, is they don't know what carrier and what carrier service they're shipping with when someone's browsing.
Right.
And
until later.
Exactly. Yeah. So we've got FedEx that delivers partially 7 days a week.
Yeah.
UPS, 6 days a week. Alternative carriers, some 6 or 7 days a week. But it's kind of a mishmash of carriers, and they don't know. And so they just kind of don't figure it out.
Well, we're halfway through, and nobody has cried yet. Not a single tear has been shed. Just a quick observation, though. It is interesting. Nate's style is more of nibbling it like he's reviewing an invoice.
Yeah.
And it's Rick goes all in.
I took a couple really swipes in there. At the second one, and it just wasn't coming off.
Yeah.
That's my story.
Well, it's now time to escalate to
The second half bomb. Is really, we were doing some research before the show. It's
a little concerning.
It's concerning.
It is.
Has anyone seen Conan?
On the hot ones? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not going
to
get.
It's not going to get to that level at all.
Also, if you've seen
there might be tears.
If you've seen the movie Over the Top, 1987, Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
There we go.
There we go.
Great.
It's time. Ready for here we go.
I'm sorry.
Let's get serious. All right, we're gonna head to our third wing.
That's
and our third question.
There we go.
That's me.
All right.
Is free shipping still worth it for DTC brands, or is the ROI cooked?
We'll go.
Oh, he went for it.
Well,
he really, really
went
for it.
Yep. Two.
Oh wow.
Two big ones.
Well, I couldn't after you called me out.
No.
Yeah, I should give you that.
I don't know.
Is free shipping still worth it? Look, there's one thing about people, and free is still the most powerful word in the English language, Chris. And so I think people love free. Any kind of promo you test, percent off, dollar off. Dollar off is always better. Then you get into like BOGOs and stacking and all these things that people test. Free shipping is still always at the top of the conversion rate percentage list in any kind of survey that I've ever read. So much so that especially during COVID, you saw, and this is why the de minimis thing became so huge, is because people were willing to wait 7 days, 10 days, 15, 30 days to get free cheap stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's tingling
a little bit. Yeah, RIP de minimis.
Pour out too bad.
No, maybe.
I don't know, and I thought I got a pretty... Yeah, good chunk.
You did good. You did really good.
I think it's starting to, it's like a delayed onset.
Yeah.
Are you sure you picked the right one?
I did.
You'll feel it on that flight in about an hour.
A little bit. But I think as far as the ROI, whether or not that's still valid, part of that is, well, a couple things. One, like Rick said, like this is so ingrained into, here it comes. So ingrained into the psychology of like the purchasing psychology, that you can't not offer free shipping. Like I just don't, for most brands. I mean, there's some exceptions.
At least a threshold.
Right. Where that might be an exception, but so I don't think that's even the consideration. the ROI, though, part of it is the expense. There's been a lot of, I think the journal, Wall Street Journal, put something out about like the death of free shipping and the fact that, you know, expense has gone up so much, different areas, all true.
Yeah.
Manage your expense. Like, that's one of the things that, of course, with shipping, that's where I just gravitate toward, but, you know, whatever. But you just obsessively manage the expense, the ROI improves a little bit. And so I think that's where one area that is an opportunity for a lot of retailers to just really, really tighten down on that expense and make it a continuous process.
Yeah. Free shipping isn't free.
Milk.
Yeah. Takes help. Free shipping isn't free. I noticed you've used more napkins than me. I've noticed already.
Have I?
Two. Free shipping isn't free.
Right.
For the retail. And so the money's got to come from somewhere. And we were talking before, it's like too few people view shipping as part of the overall customer experience and like how to
absolutely
deliver a better customer experience for people. And so free shipping is part of that, which is like the surprise and delight. Like, I know I'm going to get there and I'm going to have a great experience. Or I feel like if I bought the thing that got me over $100, then I'm like,
yep,
I won something, even though I didn't win anything.
Yeah, I feel like
I bought more stuff.
Free, yeah, exactly. Right? Like the psychology part of it. I feel like free shipping altogether, just how that's managed and how that is made or not a part of the customer experience, how it's prioritized, you know, within an organization. If it was part of marketing, like if it was in the marketing budget, it would be way different because you actually would get a lot of attention, resources to it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be kind of like the last thing on the list. So I think that's where, again, getting the ROI out of it actually has to do with making shipping a priority within that. And part of that is investing into it.
There is a trend of that more broadly where CXO and marketing really come together and that experience. And this is yet another area. Yeah, in our benchmark report, 41% of consumers this year said that delivery cost is more important than speed. And that was up 8% year over year. So to your earlier point, consumers care about it. It's definitely crucial. And the context of everything that's going on only puts pressure on it for brands on both sides.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, it's time. It's time to move up to the last and final wing. Turn it all the way up. How are we feeling?
So, not too bad.
We're tingling strong.
A little bit.
Strong tingle.
Like, whole mouth area, just, you know, kind of like runny nose a little bit, but it's okay.
Good. So all right.
I think we have to both hit this at the same time.
Okay.
All right.
I'm not doing this with you.
There'll be a silent.
Let's go. Go ahead. Let's.
If you're on the webinar, we're not going to be talking anymore.
Let's take a bite.
Yeah.
Let's take. Go ahead and take a bite.
It's your turn. If you want to go first, go ahead.
Oh, it's my turn.
It is.
Oh yeah, very. Go for it. Very subtle of you, Nate.
Here we go.
Doesn't matter to me.
Are you guys going to cheers? There we go. All right. Let's see if the tears form a little bit. I think the runny nose is a good precursor to some tears coming. How are we feeling about it?
Yeah.
You feel it?
Did you miss it?
No.
Oh.
No, please.
Perfect.
I had to have them, right? I mean, it's coming, but...
All right. Here's
this honey bar.
I'll go ahead and... Okay.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it now. Well, he's taking that additional bite, okay. And Rick's just getting some getting some milk. And the last question. Finish the sentence, if brands want to win in 20... if brands want to win in 20...
Hold on, we need a moment.
Uh-huh. Oh, there's a little bit of tears. Yeah, I see it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming.
Get ahead of that milk. There we go. All right, here's the question. Finish the sentence. If brands want to win in 2025, they need to blank.
Not do this.
Exactly what I was going to say.
If brands want to win in 2025, they really need to stand for something. To me, that's number one, because there's so many brands out there
that can answer a very simple question. Like, for this important group of consumer, what important problem do you solve? And it seems like a simple question, but it's actually very complicated for a lot of people to answer.
I know. Like, it, I wouldn't look at...
I'm not just, crying because I just love shipping.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I'm crying. It's emotional.
It is. It's a deep burn. All right.
Be careful around the eyes.
I know. Boring. It makes it worse if you talk. I kind of started on this on the last question. And maybe this is a little too cliche, but what I do. Well, this is bad. But it really is. I don't know if that's going to work. To prioritize delivery. So prioritize it within not just the customer experience, but investing not just funds, you know, not like an actual like capital investment or anything like that, but people, resources to make it a central part of your e-commerce strategy, period.
Yeah.
And it requires, you know, intentional effort, requires an actual strategy, not just kind of letting things go generically, like a, I don't want to call any brand out that I listed earlier.
2 to 5 days, three business days.
8-9 days from now. Like, there's no reason that should happen. It just shouldn't happen anymore. And I don't think there is an excuse for it if delivery matters.
I'm going to help you out here, Nate.
Thank you. So by, I think, having the lack of specificity with the shipping options, the experience, that just means, I think, I'm gonna say those brands in general who have that, don't prioritize delivery. So that's what I would say. I mean, granted, I'm a little bit biased on the shipping and delivery aspect, though.
I think it's well said, because I think if you don't prioritize that experience, it's not going to happen on its own. I don't know how you spoke for that long.
Me neither.
While you're...
Yeah, that was... Milk does help, though.
Yeah,
it does.
It doesn't help
with the science.
Can't speak through the milk. We can...
It's true. Yeah.
Like, bubble it.
But it comes back.
Froth it up a bit.
It's get a little frothy. It is unrelenting.
Yeah.
Yep.
What were we talking about?
Well, actually, it's a great segue, because we gotta wrap it up. It's about time to close out here, and so
that's true. Until the last one was pretty bad.
We want to thank you all for coming out, traveling all this way to enjoy some wings with us.
Yeah,
enjoy the wings.
Enjoy. Sure. Yeah,
and have a really great session. We've got some ShipStation cards for you to wear for next year. Here we go. But thank you both so much. We appreciate the time and the insights and the energy.
All right.
Thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Did you know that RMW Commerce has another podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisesky, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find The Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/watsonweekly and wherever you get your podcasts.